If the name Rosa Parks is not familiar to you, it should be. Rosa Parks came to be known as the First Lady of Civil Rights and the mother of the freedom movement. She was arrested on December 1, 1955 in Montgomery, Alabama, when she refused to give up her seat on the colored section of the bus to a white man who was demanding it. Boycotts and protests followed. Eventually, the Supreme Court ruled that racial segregation is unconstitutional. And after her death, posthumously, she received the Congressional Gold Medal and the Presidential Medal of Freedom for her courageous act. In her book, Quiet Strength, she says this: "I've learned over the years that knowing what must be done does away with fear. When I sat down on the bus that day, I had no idea history was being made. I was only thinking of getting home. But I had made up my mind. After so many years of the mistreatment my people had suffered, not giving up my seat and whatever I had to face afterwards was not important. I did not fear sitting there. I felt the Lord would give me the strength to endure whatever I had to face. It was time for someone to stand up, or in my case, to sit down. So I refused to move." Rosa had settled in her heart and mind what was right and resolved to do what was right for herself and for others. Courage was the result. Jesus settled in his heart and mind what was the right thing to do, what had to be done, and he found the courage and resolve to do so as well. In fact, his resolve was how Rosa found hers. Her faith empowered her life. The Lord gave her the strength she needed. Isaiah's telling of the suffering servant, when applied to Jesus and his Holy Week experience, gives important information about Jesus' resolve. It provided a role model for Rosa and for us. It calls us, you and me, to find the courage to do right, even when it puts us in danger. Isaiah quotes the servant, "I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheek to those who pulled my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint." These verses remind us of the need Jesus felt to exercise his resolve. "I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame." You remember the beginning of Jesus' ministry? You remember what he did after he was baptized? The Holy Spirit pushed him out into the wilderness where he lived for 40 days, fasting the entire time. It was a time of moral and emotional struggle for him. After 40 days, he was hungry and was tempted to conjure up some bread. Remember what Satan said to him while he was there? "Turn these stones into bread, if you are the Son of God." He refused. As Jesus reflected on things to come and the probable outcome of his mission, death on a cross, he was tempted to avoid suffering and pain. The devil said he could accomplish it all by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. Again, he did not succumb. The temptation to take the easy way out accompanied Jesus all throughout his life, and it was most insistent during Holy Week. On Thursday night of Holy Week, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he fought the urge to avoid the cross that was coming on Friday. He needed to harden his resolve and once again set his face like flint. He had to set his sights on a trial, on humiliation, on a beating, on spit on his face, on nails through his hands and feet to the cross. Naturally, he recoiled. The reality of his temptation and his resolve was expressed in this prayer. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Jesus stayed obedient to his call in spite of cruel opposition. He suffered as God's servant because his message upset the political, religious, and social status quo. His suffering included the physical and emotional abuse of the worst sort possible. Yet he exercised tremendous resolve and courage through it all. Like Rosa Parks, he knew what he had to do, and he did it. And it did away with fear. How many of you have read Harper Lee's novel, To Kill a Mockingbird? Anybody here has read that? Yeah, many hands go up. We read it in, I don't know, 9th or 10th grade in school. It was made into a movie starring Gregory Peck. You may have seen the movie. In the book, there's an old woman dying of cancer. She is a model of courage and resolve. Not a perfect woman by any stretch. Her name is Mrs. DeBose. She has been a bitter critic of Atticus for insistence on equal rights for blacks in that small southern town. So Jim, Atticus's son, hates the old woman for criticizing his father. But Atticus wants Jim to see the greatness in this cantankerous old gal. For years, she had taken morphine at her doctor's insistence for her chronic pain, and she had become addicted to it. As it became apparent that her days were numbered with her cancer, she determined to escape her addiction to morphine before she died. She determined she would die beholden to nothing and nobody. At Atticus's insistence, his son Jim went to her home and read to her every day. He watched her day by day as she endured the pain of not taking morphine. After her death, Atticus said this to Jim, "I wanted you to see what real courage is, instead of getting the idea that courage is a man with a gun in his hand. Courage is when you know you are licked before you begin, but you begin anyway, and you see it through no matter what. You rarely win, but sometimes you do. Mrs. DeBose won, all 98 pounds of her. According to her views, she died beholden to nothing and nobody. She was the bravest person I ever knew. She was courageous and resolute." Jesus faced Holy Week on Palm Sunday as he rode down that steep incline, and if you see it in person, you'll see it. It is a steep incline. It even feels steep as you walk it. As he rode down, heading for the gate into Jerusalem, straight ahead, he faced Holy Week knowing his enemies were going to kill him, crucify him. But he saw it through, no matter what. He set his face like flint. Through tremendous courage born of his faith in the Father, he found the resolve to fulfill his calling. And the call to us today, to you and me, who face much less opposition, not to mention few if any threats, is to resist distraction and to harden our resolve to be God's faithful people here and now, no matter what. Jesus endured like Isaiah's suffering servant because of his faith in God's providence and presence, of God's fidelity. The servant declared, "The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been confounded. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know I shall not be put to shame. God who vindicates me is near." Jesus' acts of personal courage and resolution were possible because of his confidence in the God who is near. This faith led to his heroic resistance of temptation and his immovable resolve. It was in the late 1930s, and Germany was in turmoil. There was in Germany an underground movement of resistance to Hitler and Nazism. The time came when a group of officials, intellectuals, army officers, and church leaders decided something had to be done. They attempted to undermine Hitler's control. However, they found themselves baffled by the Allied leadership which was playing into Hitler's hands. They were disheartened and tempted to flee, but they decided they could not run and leave it to the world to restore order and justice and decency to Germany. They resolutely remained, and most of them paid the price of their life. These Germans set their faces like flint, and while their efforts were limited, their names are listed among the brave martyrs of World War II. One of them, a general, wrote this to his son: "To our last breath, we all remain upstanding men, as we were taught from childhood and in our soldierly discipline. Come what may, we fear only the wrath of God that will fall upon us if we are not clean and decent and do our duty." And of this general, someone wrote, "He remained firm within himself, and his firmness sprang from his unshakable faith in God." Friends, the call for us on Palm Sunday, as we enter Holy Week, is to be Christian centered upon God seen in the face of Jesus. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians? God has made his light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus. That face that Jesus set like flint will enable us to do the will of God in the way of Jesus and to stand against pressures and distractions. The call is for us to move our homes, our neighborhoods, our communities toward God and into God's purposes. Here's some questions that Jesus poses to us this morning. What needs to be done here to make this a more godly community? What can we do to make life more gracious for more people? What is not being done that we could do? When will we do it? Again, today begins Holy Week. This is the week that we remember that Jesus, like the German underground, voluntarily accepted his role as suffering servant. This role is today being shared around the world by pastors and missionaries and everyday Christians like us who have remained in communist and Muslim countries and still worship and still carry forth their Christ-centered, God-given mission. According to the Pew Research Center, 75%, three-quarters, of the world's population live in places of religious restriction. Many of them are Christians. According to the United States State Department, In over 60 countries, Christians face persecution for admitting their faith. Beatings, torture, isolation, confinement, rape, imprisonment, slavery, and discrimination in education and employment are not uncommon. They are faced daily by other believers in other places. Go to opendoorsusa.org for fuller information. Now, some fall away and give up their faith, but most do not. They are able to repeat the servant's song: "He who vindicates me is near. Behold, the Lord helps me." While we do not now face such atrocities when we seek to do God's will, we can face insult, conflict, and social ostracism for doing so. One time I was at the gym and I wore my old Meadville Church t-shirt and it had a cross on it. And some guy came up to me and made a smart comment about Christians. I said, "How many Christians do you personally know, sir?" He said, "I know 5 or 6. I said, "Are you aware of the fact that there are billions around the world? And you're basing your remarks on this small sample." That's what we have sometimes in life. And certainly when we stand against racism, pollution, drugs, violence, abuse, and exploitation, and when we stand for fairness, cleaning the environment and keeping it clean, good government for one and all, justice for immigrants, and health care that's cheap and available to everybody, when we stand for these things, we will be opposed. But the promise is that when our nerve wavers, Jesus is more than just a model for us. He is a source of courage. He'll send His Holy Spirit to us as He did to Rosa Parks. And with Paul, we can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This does not mean we can do anything, anywhere, anytime. It means that when we are in God's will, like Parks, doing God's work and facing opposition, we will be able to do what needs to be done, and we'll be able to do so without fear. We'll be able to set our faces like flint and join Jesus in His courageous resolve to build the kingdom of God in this time and place. So, friends, today we begin Holy Week. Today we celebrate the parade. Thursday, we remember the washing of feet and the institution of the Lord's Supper and the commandment to love others as Christ has loved us. Friday, we remember that Jesus was nailed to a cross and bled and died for the salvation of the world. And then Sunday, we come back and we have a big party and celebration because Christ has been risen, God has affirmed His ministry and mission, and declared Him Lord. But that's next Sunday. This Sunday, we're just starting on our Holy Week journey. This week reminds us of all that God did for us in Christ, and it calls us to consider all that we in Christ can do for God. Right here in Tampa Bay, we can be God's servants too. And with Isaiah's suffering servant, we can say, "We shall not be put to shame, for the one who vindicates us is near." And let the people of God say, Amen.